You're listening to the Church Requel Audio Podcast, Episode 56, for this Thursday, May the 9th, 2013. Welcome, everybody. This is Pastor Mark Pierce with you on this Thursday. Yes, yes, yes. I can hear it already. It's Thursday. I actually now am getting emails and messages on Tuesday. Where is the podcast? So, yeah, sorry. You know, I just have to say I'm guilty this week of not getting everything done on a timely basis. But, hey, today is the most beautiful day of the week. In fact, probably the most beautiful day of the year. And where am I? I am here in the studio recording this podcast for you. So, you know, I am dedicated to getting it out, if not always on time. It sure is great to be with you here. The music you're listening to in the background is Today is the Day by Lincoln Brewster, a great favorite of ours at Church Requel. And certainly appropriate, we're calling this podcast, This is the Day, which is the title of the sermon that we gave last week, or Today is the Day. I can't even remember exactly now what we called it, but it was the idea that, you know, today is the only day we get. It's a talk that I've been waiting to give for a long time, and I'm going to tell you more about it before we get to the end of the opening section here as I introduce the sermon. So that is coming up here in another 15, 20 minutes or so. I want to tell you a little bit about what has gone on this week. It's been an exciting week for us here at Church Requel. I hope that it has been a great week for you. Whatever you are doing, whether you're out exercising or driving in your car or just sitting down and having a cup of coffee, I've got my water bottle here. Oh, yeah. It's always great to wet the whistle when you're doing a podcast. Anyway, it's great to have you here and great to have you be a part of our weekly get together. What's the idea behind this podcast anyway? It really is an opportunity for us to let you kind of behind the curtains, so you see what's going on at Church Requel throughout the week. And we get a chance to tell some of the stories, some of the things about what goes on at a new church that you probably wouldn't hear anyplace else. We have folks who, of course, go to Church Requel who like to listen to the podcast. We have other pastors who are either in the process of planting a church or who are thinking about it and kind of wonder, well, what really goes on? What are the kind of things that you experience? What are the challenges that you take a look at? So we just kind of talk frankly about what it is that we come across. We talk about the good, we talk about the bad, and usually a lot of in between. Whatever reason you're here, we're glad that you're part of our audience. If there's someone that you know who could benefit from this podcast, by all means, please tell them about it. Really easy to find us. All you got to do is type Requel, R-E-Q-U-E-L, in the Apple iTunes store, or you just, you know, type it into your Google search. You'll find it. One of the benefits of having a name like Church Requel, there's no one else out there with that name. That's either really good or can be really bad, depending upon your point of view. You know, every time I tell somebody our name, I have the opportunity to explain why we gave ourselves that name. And in case you don't know it, Requel is kind of along the lines of a sequel or a prequel, right? A prequel is a story before a story. A sequel is a story after a story. Well, we don't want to be either of those things. We want to be part of the original Christian church story, a retelling of that story, but in a new and a fresh way. And so that's why we call ourselves Church Requel. We really hope that if Jesus were to come back today and he were to take a look at our church, he would find us doing the kinds of things that he talked about and that the New Testament talked about in that first, 50 years or so of church history. Well, last weekend at Church Requel was an awesome weekend. I have to tell you, it was a big surprise to me. We had 62 people, and you might say, well, Mark, you know, those numbers are getting kind of old. You've been having over 60 every single week, it seems like, ever since Easter. Well, that's true, and we never take that for granted. What is amazing about the number that we had this past weekend is that we had 25 first-time guests. Yeah, 25. And, you know, that is pretty amazing. That tells us one of a couple of things. First of all, we knew that a lot of our regulars were going to be gone last weekend. And while it's not entirely the Pierce's fault, I did know that there was some big Pierce parties going on last weekend because my daughter, Jessica, is getting married here in another couple of weekends. And last weekend was a big party for a lot of the bridesmaids and a lot of the groomsmen, many of whom are coming from Church Requil, and they were out of town for the weekend and could not be here on Sunday morning. To be honest with you, when I went down through the list and I added up everybody who was going to be gone, family and friend alike, I just kind of was anticipating that our numbers would be way down Sunday morning. What I didn't anticipate, and what is so exciting now to see developing, is that we had so many people who just showed up. Now, part of that is because the night before, on Saturday evening, we fed the hungry. It was our turn to, you know, feed the meal to people at Church Requil on Saturday night. We take our turn, even though it's at our church. We don't do it every single Saturday. Other churches and other small groups will use our church to feed the hungry. But this past Sunday was our turn. And we had some folks there, to be quite honest, was there the first time, and we had a chance to talk to them about Church Requil. There was one family who came in late. They weren't there right at 5 o'clock. They came in afterward, and you know, they were a pretty rough looking bunch, although they were a lovely family. There was a mom and a dad and I think three children, and then there was a babysitter, and they came in and they walked to the church. So, you know, they're somewhere in the neighborhood, and they came in and they really were hungry, and we fed them, and then we gave them seconds, and they asked, you know, is it possible? Is there enough food that they could take some food home with them? And we said, sure, of course, not a problem. And they just said, you know, a lot of places that they go, and I got the impression that they go to a lot of places to eat, you know, where there are free meals available around downtown. He said, a lot of places that we go, they are really kind of stingy about the food. They tell us anything that we want, we have to eat it here. We can't take it home. And, you know, we just give the food away. Now, again, if we have a whole lot more people than what we anticipate, we've got to make sure that everybody gets at least one meal. But if we have enough, and we are trying really hard to make sure that we have way more than enough every single weekend, then, yeah, we go ahead and put it in fact, we even get those styrofoam, you know, packages that we can just put the thing, the food in and let them have takeout. So anyway, we just loaded them up. And as they were loading up, I don't know why, but it just came over me to say, hey, say something to them about church. And I said, you know, I don't know what you know or don't know about Church Requil, but Church Requil, I think, would be the kind of church that you would feel really at home in. And if you don't already have a church home, you should come and give us a try. And again, they just kind of looked at me with a little tilt on their face, like, really? You'd want us to come? And, you know, I don't think that we make that obvious enough. Perhaps there are churches that say, hey, you can come and we'll feed you, but we really don't want you to be part of our church. That's not our case at all. You know, we want everybody to come, not only for the food that we eat, but, you know, for the food for the soul, which is what we give on Sunday morning. So, in any event, come Sunday, I'm looking out the door, and here's this same family. And they have the kids all in a red wagon, and they are pulling them behind. And the babysitter is with them, and the mom and the dad. And, you know, they just come in. So that family, that makes up six of the 25 first-timers that we had. Not everybody that was here was from the meal. We had some other folks that I think had just heard about the church through the grapevine and wanted to check it out. We got some really interesting, information cards at the end of the service. One from a couple that said that they had 11 grandchildren and that they would have loved for any one of them to have been there with them to have heard the children's sermon that we gave that morning. That was really a highlight, not only the children's sermon, but, you know, hearing them say how important it was to them to hear that, to see that. So just a really exciting Sunday morning. I have to tell you, I've been given a lot of thought to it for a lot of reasons. One is that particular family that I had mentioned to you before. The young man came up to me after the service because I gave an invitation as part of our prayer. Just felt moved to do that this past Sunday. And the sermon really lent itself well, as you'll hear here in a moment. The young man came up to me and said, "Hey, I just want you to know I gave my life to Christ this morning." And it was such a great experience, such an opportunity, you know, for me as a pastor to be able to, first of all, thank him for letting me know, and then to put my arm around him and to pray with him together and to encourage him. Just an awesome, awesome opportunity. Now, the downside or the negative to this past week is that, you know, I don't really have any ability to contact that family, although several families did give us connection cards. Not every person who was there for the first time, and certainly nowhere as close to the 25, you know, told us who they were. And we just are not doing, I think, a very good job on being able to follow up. What I want to be able to do is I want to be able to, you know, write a note to people, let them know that we appreciated them being there, tell them a little bit about our church. I mean, I don't want to hunt them down or anything like that, but I do want to have the ability to stay in contact with them. We have a great email program where once a week we send out an email to everybody that's part of our church family on Fridays. We send this email out, just tell them everything that's going on. And we would love to have people be a part of that email program. Quite a few people who are now a regular part of our church got that email every single week for months before they came to Church Requel for the very first time. So it's kind of important to me that we be able to have some kind of a follow-up. So I'm giving a lot of thought to what we might be able to do. You know, you can stand up in front of people all you want in front of the service and say, "Hey, we have this connection card. Would you be willing to fill it out and put it in?" But, you know, a lot of times people just want to be anonymous. Pastor Steve, my partner, does a really great job of getting out to people and noticing. But again, you don't want someone coming up and kind of almost tackling you before you get out the door and saying, "Hey, will you fill out this connection card?" We have one family that had attended our church for probably close to 3 months. And they were there faithfully every single week, and we did not know who their name was. You know, we would go around, we would introduce ourselves, and I would talk to Pastor Steve and say, "Hey, do you got their name?" "No, I don't have their name yet." I don't have their name either. I mean, they just seemed like they really wanted to kind of keep their name and their address and their phone number, their email, all that just kind of private because they weren't sure. I mean, I think a lot of people are coming in and they're just kind of wanting to check it out, you know, and not give away any kind of information. And you can't do anything at all about people like that. You got to honor that, and we certainly do. But I also think that there's a lot of people who would give it to you if you gave them the right kind of opportunity. I read a book not too long ago, and I honestly don't even remember now what the name of the book was, but it was from another church planter. And they just did a really remarkably good job of offering an incentive to people. They would have a free book like Lee Strobel's Case for Christ that they would give away to every first-time guest. And when someone would go to pick up the book at the booth at the back of the church after the service, you know, the person there was instructed just to ask for a connection card. And he said that most people, probably 90% of them, were very willing to give a connection card. Although they gave the book away for free without even the connection card, if somebody didn't want to give the connection card. But maybe that's something that we should be checking out. You know, one of the books that I have been reading lately that has really been moving on my heart is the book Crazy Love by Francis Chan. And I was thinking to myself, maybe that is a book that, you know, we might buy a case of and see if we can't get a discount and give away that book until it's gone, and then, you know, find another book. So, you know, it would be something that would be kind of fresh, something that would be new, and something that people would really like to have a copy of. So this is just one of those things that is kind of in my head, on my mind as a church leader of a new church. You know, what can we do to have the contact information that we like? You know, I was kicking myself. I probably, if I was a little bit more forceful about it, if I had thought about it, if I was just more in that moment, you know how you, afterwards, you're strategically thinking, oh, I should have done this, or I wish I would have done that. You know, I had that young man who was up front with me, and I had my arm around him, and I'm praying with him, and I was so joyous about that. And then I let him go, and I didn't get his name and address and phone number and email. I mean, what was I thinking? I am sure if I had thought about it, I could have said something very easily like, you know, I'd really like to follow up with you this week. I'd like to give you a call. I'd like to talk to you. Could you fill out this card for me? And I just didn't think about it. And so all week long, I've been thinking about this young man. I've been praying for him, but I have no way of contacting him and certainly have no way of knowing if he'll be back again next week. So that's just one of the things that, you know, as a church planter, you think about, wow, you know, great that we had 25 people, but how many of them are going to come back, and have we given them enough information that they can sink their teeth into that they will want to come back the following week? Work on Church Requel has continued this past week. A lot of people doing a lot of things. Pastor Paul has been working on beautifying the outside of the church. We now have a new flagpole in the front of the church, and he's got that set in cement, and that is hardening this morning. He's also working on beautifying that front corner that we actually are going to be dedicating to a veterans park, and it will be kind of unveiled, if you will, on Memorial Day weekend. So that is, you know, going to look awesome. As I left the church today, Pastor Paul was actually painting the front door of the church a bright, what he called, Reformation red. And while the church doors were always red, some of the frame of the door had looked really, really lousy. Paint was peeling off, and that's just going to look awesome as people come into the church on Sunday morning. Pastor Steve working on the tech booth all week long, probably put in, I'm guessing, 25 to 30 hours of work on it. I'm going to show you a picture on the website this week. You definitely will want to go to churchrequel.com to check it out, or go to the Facebook page for Church Requel. But Pastor Steve got a bright idea, and he put a hole in the side of the tech booth. Now, we've all been kind of joking around what that hole might be. It kind of looks like about the size of, you know, maybe you'd be able to put a gun hole through it, you know. But that's not the reason. We're going to let people kind of guess maybe for a week or so what Steve has in mind for the hole on the side of the tech booth. So you might have some fun with that. I had a chance this week, and this is the picture, by the way, that's on the front cover here of this week's Church Requel audio podcast. The cover art that you see is the new signs that we have for the summer series Stress Busters that will be launched on Memorial Day weekend, and then we'll be into that series for the following 7 weeks. So very excited about that. And you know, excited that we finally are putting those sign boxes to use. Those sign boxes are on either side of the church have just sat empty for the last 3 or 4 months, ever since we moved into that church building. And I finally just got the idea of going down to the printer and gave him the dimensions and said, hey, can you give us signs? If I give you the artwork, can you print something that's this size? And, you know, they're about 4 foot by 3 foot, something like that. And he said, oh, yeah, we can do that. And so we had those printed up, and very, very nice. So anyway, check that out as you either are looking at the artwork here or as you come to Church Requel this week. You'll see that along with the tech booth, along with the flagpole, along with the brightly painted front door. It seems like every single week there's something new going on at Church Requel. Now, one of the things that I learned as I was at the church this week that I did not know before, and I think is going to be a real opportunity for us, and this is one of those things that, if you're a church planter, you know, you just really got to keep your ears open for what are the opportunities that we have, the natural opportunities that we can, you know, get the word out about the church. Well, come to find out that the Memorial Day parade, which is on Memorial Day, right, this year, actually forms up in the parking lot of our church. That's right. I mean, so everybody that's coming downtown for the parade that's going to be in the parade starts at our church. Now, that is a great opportunity. So I'm thinking about a couple of things. First of all, I want to, you know, again, continue to partner with Paul and maybe get some nice flowers out there, really make our, really spruce up the property and make it look just awesome. Secondly, I would love to do a little bit of servant evangelism. You know, maybe we can put some coffee and hot drinks out front, maybe buy some water bottles so that the people who are, you know, going to be part of the parade, you know, can come to Church Requil and just be served as they get prepared to go into the parade. And then I know, I don't know exactly what they cost or where we go to get them, but I want to be checking into those coffee backpacks. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where you can put the coffee in the back and then kind of have a little squirt thing that comes out the front and give people a cup and give them coffee. I'm thinking that, you know, we've got that whole parade route. We've got a lot of people coming downtown. It would be just be a natural opportunity to put Church Requil in a very positive light in people's mind. Again, not to necessarily get everybody who's there to come to our church, but at least to gain some top of mind awareness. Oh, there is a church here. It's where we're starting at. And they've shown up here, not on Sunday, but on Monday. And oh, what they're doing, they're serving us. And who knows, you know, out of the entire crowd, maybe there is a family or two or a person or two who might check out the church the following week. You just have to take advantage of those opportunities when they come up. On the personal front, a lot of things are happening. This is one of the big reasons why I'm as late as I am at getting the podcast out to you this week, because we are T-minus 9 days as I talk to you today for my daughter Jessica's wedding. Had the opportunity to go out on Monday or Tuesday earlier this week with Mary Kay and Mary Kay's best friend Kim to be thinking in terms of decorating plans. I went to the printer today as I was getting those big signs for Church Requil. I talked to him about, you know, perhaps getting a banner that would have Dave and Jessica's name on it for the, you know, for the reception that we're going to have on the 18th, on Saturday. So a lot of different things happening, a lot of things being shipped to us for the decorating, a lot of final plans as far as, you know, all the dresses and all the tuxes that the guys are wearing and getting everything going. My brother Todd has agreed to preach for me next weekend, and that's just going to be a real blessing because he is my favorite preacher, so I'm really looking forward to hearing what he has to say. But it also will give me next week off a little bit. I still have a lot to do to get things ready for the church, but, you know, I won't have the sermon prep next week, and that will be a blessing. So a lot of things happening on the personal side, and we sure are excited about Dave and Jessica and, you know, their wedding plans. So a lot happening at Church Requil, a lot happening at the Pierce family. Well, I think that's going to wrap up our introduction. I know it's kind of been short, but I've told you about as much as I know and maybe a little bit even more than what I know. If you are someone who, you know, has not been to Church Requil yet and you are living in the Mansfield area, hey, what are you waiting for? Come on down, visit us. Just as Steve and I were leaving, putting those new signs in, there was a lady across the street who said that she worked across the street and she just volunteered this. I mean, we didn't ask her anything. She said, hey, it's really great to see that church being used again. And of course, our natural response was, well, hey, come visit us. And, you know, that's all she needed. She says, you know, I just might do that. You might see me on Sunday. So that's kind of what all this is about, is letting people know if they don't already have a place that they're going to church, hey, why not give Church Requil an opportunity? But you know what? You may not be close to Church Requil. You may be a long ways away, and this podcast could be your opportunity to really just have a little bit of inspiration in your week. This past weekend, I felt blessed to be able to share the sermon that you are about to hear. It's a sermon that really had been dwelling in my heart and in my soul for the last month or so. And because we were in another sermon series, I didn't feel comfortable breaking up the series. But you could just kind of tell Sunday was just a great time. People really seemed to respond, not only this young man who gave his life to the Lord, but everyone seemed to respond very favorably to what we talked about, making each day the very best day possible. So why don't you hang in here? We'll go out with a little bit more of our This Is The Day music. Today Is The Day by Lincoln Brewster. And when we get out on the other end, we'll play last weekend's sermon for you. This has been Pastor Mark Pierce with Church Requil. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a great week. Again, like Steve, I would like to just welcome everybody here. We're glad that you're here for this message today. It's a profound message. It's one that's always appropriate, and it's one that has really been speaking loudly into my life over the course of the last month or so. For those of you who don't know, we've been into a sermon series that we just finished last week, and we kind of preached our way through it. But in the midst of that, I had a very close friend of mine, one who was my former partner. His name was Michael. Michael was much younger than I. We celebrated a love of running together. Michael ran marathons and half marathons. And about a month ago, in the middle of a run, suddenly and unexpectedly, Michael dropped and he lost his life. We come to find out later that Michael had a defect in his heart aorta. His heart muscle was just as strong as any runner's heart would be, but he had a childhood defect in his aorta that just completely burst unexpectedly. And no one expected it, no one knew it, but that was Michael's last day on earth. He left behind a wife and three children. And it's not my purpose this morning to depress you. It's my purpose to remind you that this is the only day that we have, right? In fact, we read this in James chapter 4. If you would be so willing to take out your Bibles, we practice all kinds of different Bibles here at Church Requil. You can have the printed Bible. We have pew Bibles in the rack in front of you. And if you have, one of those modern cell phone mobile devices or tablets, we actually put all of the sermon notes in the YouVersion Bible app. And if you just open up the Bible app and go to live, you'll find Church Requil right there, and you'll see all of the Bible notes and verses there for you. And of course, we've printed everything up here. So we have done everything we know to get this into your heart and into your life. But this is a verse that James writes in chapter 4, verse 13, page 852, if you're taking a look at one of those pew Bibles. It goes this way. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live or do this or that. Now, I used to really be bothered by that verse because as a former businessman, I was exactly the kind of person that James is talking about. I made plans. In fact, my title was a financial planner. We had the audacity to try to plan people's retirement future. And then you take a look at this verse and it says, you don't even know what tomorrow will bring. You don't know that you'll be here a year or two from now. Well, you know, whenever we lose someone close to us, like I lost Michael, we are reminded of our own mortality. We're reminded of the truth of this statement. It's true for every single person who is here. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't make plans. You should make plans. You should be thinking about your future. But you should understand that it's all up to the Lord. It's His will, and that's why we say if it's the Lord's will, we will live or do this or do that. In fact, here, James compares our life to simply a mist that is here today and gone. This last Tuesday, I bicycled down to the restaurant that I love to eat breakfast at, and somehow in my mind, I figure if I bicycle there and back, it almost works up the calories that I have consumed in the middle of that. And I got up before sunrise, and I got on my bike, and I actually watched the sun come up as I was on my bicycle on my way to the restaurant. And as the sun was coming up that Tuesday morning, some of you might remember, it was very misty that morning. We had a fog just lay in here, and you couldn't see 5 or 6 feet in front of you. I was actually glad I was on my bicycle instead of my car because I couldn't see very far ahead. Now, when I left the restaurant and I went back out into the foggy morning, the fog was gone. It had completely disappeared. Inside of an hour, what was so there, so present, so much a part of our lives, completely disappeared in the sunshine. And you know what I'm talking about, right? The fog is here, the mist is here, and then the mist is gone. And James says that's what our life is like in the perspective of eternity. So here today is our big truth. You say, what's the big truth that I learned at Church Requel today? Here is the truth, and it's this. Today is the only day I have. I cannot change my yesterday, and I have no guarantee of tomorrow. Today is the only day I have. Now, I know that this is not a new lesson for anybody who is here. It's, however, well worth it to be reminded of this truth. In fact, I think we need to struggle and work hard to remember this truth every single day. Otherwise, if we don't recall this truth, we lose opportunity. We lose the chance to make the most of every single day. Today is the only day I have. That's why the psalmist teaches it this way, Psalm 90:12. And by the way, this psalm, you may not know this, but this psalm is actually the oldest psalm in the Bible. Moses wrote this psalm. It's an early truth, and he penned it, and it was recorded in the Bible, and it goes this way, teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. How can we be wise to remember this truth every single day? Because this is not just something I want you to pick up at Sunday and say, wasn't that a nice lesson? Wasn't that a nice sermon? And we've all been affirmed that we have to make the most of our day. How can I remember this every single day? I want to give you an illustration that might help. A number of years ago, there was a movie that came out where a minor league baseball player was given an amount of money that he had to spend and get it spent out by the end of the day. Some of you who are my age remember back into those days when we had movies like that. But if you don't remember, let me give you an illustration that would be helpful to you. Let's say that I were to hand you $86,400. And I do that in the morning, and I say to you, by the end of today, you must spend the $86,400. Some of you say, hey, all right, I'm so glad I came to church Requel today. Well, here's the catch. Whatever you don't spend by the end of the day, I take back. You say, no problem, Pastor Mark. I can spend $86,400. I'll do it as often as you give it to me. Every single day, I give you $86,400. And here is the deal. You cannot save any of it. And you cannot borrow ahead. So you can't buy something on time and then, you know, pay the $86,400 over time. You have to, whatever you're going to do, you have to spend $86,400 every single day. And whatever you don't spend, you lose. Use it or lose it. Now you may say, I love that deal. Where do I get a deal like that? Let me tell you, God gave you that deal. Except instead of money, it's called time. And every single day, he gives you 86,400 seconds. And you get to use it or lose it. You can't save it ahead. You can't borrow against it. You just get 86,400 seconds every single day until you don't. That is what our life is like. That is the mist that is our mortality. The more we live in each moment, the truth is, the more we live in each moment, the more we become like God himself. Where do I get that from? Well, let's take a look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. This is the first time that God and Moses are having this conversation. And Moses is asking God, because he's going to go back and he's going to give some audacious plans to the people of Israel. And he says, who should I say sent me? Could you tell me your name, God? And here's what God says to them. God says to Moses in Exodus 3:14, page 40 in your pew Bible. God says to Moses, I am who I am. That's his name. I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Now, isn't it fascinating that God would name himself and want to be called I Am? I think God is trying to get a message to us. Because after all, God is the only being who actually has the power to change yesterday. He is the only being who actually has a guarantee of tomorrow. But God names himself as the I Am. Always in the present moment for all of eternity. For all of yesterday, he is I am. For this moment, he is I am. For all of the future, he is I am right now. Now, here's a question. Okay, Pastor Mark, wonderful reminder. I must make the most of today. How do I remember that? How do I make the most of every moment? How do I live in the today? Well, I think it's this way. I am commanded to rejoice always. Real simple. I am commanded to rejoice always. Some of you who may be here today, especially if you haven't been to a church Requel service before, you know, we're a little bit of a different kind of church. I understand that. But we like to suggest that every time you come to church Requel, it's a party here because we want it to be a day of rejoicing. And it's exactly how your life should be every single day. You might be surprised at this, especially if you think of Christianity as hanging out with a bunch of doom and gloomers. Anybody know some doom and gloomers? Oh, I tell you, the doom and gloomers just depress me. I don't want to hang around with doom and gloomers because ours is not a sourpuss faith. Ours is a faith of rejoicing, a faith of great joy. The verse that I taught the children this morning is a verse that I would like all of you to know. It's this, Psalm 118:24. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, I had the kids say that out loud. I think it would do our hearts good to say it out loud too. Let's do it together. The verse is in front of you so you can't mess it up. Let's say it together. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Now, this psalm, this verse, Psalm 118, verse 24, is filled with instruction. It's filled with theology. It helps us to understand God and how God wants us to live our life. It starts with, "This is the day the Lord has made." Who's made it? The Lord. Who's in control? The Lord. Who owns the day? The Lord. You know, we often live our lives as if somehow we have created this day. As if somehow we're responsible. As if somehow we're in charge. And honestly, if that were the case, then you'd have reason to be depressed. There are days when you'd have reason to be down. There would be days when you'd have reason not to rejoice. Because let's face it, not everything goes as we plan it. Life is filled with disappointments. But when we realize, when we recognize that every day we get is a gift from God, when we realize that this is the day the Lord has made, no matter what, no matter what happens to my plans, I can rejoice in God's gift to me. This is why Paul writes in Philippians 4, 4 and 6, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I say it again, rejoice. And then in verse 6, very closely tied with verse 7, and I think there's a reason for this, he says this, "Do not be anxious about anything." Now, why do you think Paul would write about being rejoiceful every single day? Again, I say rejoice. In other words, he's trying to make sure you get the idea. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And then very close to that, do not be anxious about everything, about anything. Well, the reason is obvious. Because you cannot rejoice and at the same time be anxious. You cannot rejoice and at the same time be worried. Paul connects the dots here. You just can't do both. And you will never have the right perspective on the mistiness of life, on the fog that's here today and gone tomorrow. I don't know how to best get this across. Here's what I've been thinking to myself. No matter what I do, no matter how grand I may be and how much I may live my life and how wonderful my sermons are and how much people like them, the truth is this, two generations from now, no one's going to know Mark Pierce. And no one's going to know you. Two generations go by and at best will be a name that's remembered that has a starting year and an ending year. What's a big deal today to you will be no deal at all 100 years from now. What you're concerned about, what you're worried about, what you're struggling through right now, no one's going to care about a century from now. So the concept is not to be distressed about the fact that we have a short-term lifespan. That's not what we're trying to get across. I'm not trying to depress anybody. The idea here is to celebrate and rejoice in our eternal connection to the one who is eternal, who will be here always, and who provides the ability for us also to have eternity, who gives us eternal life. We cannot remain connected in our knowledge and in our faith and our rejoicing to God if at the same time we're filled with anxiousness and we're filled with worry. And we're filled with concern. That's why Jesus puts it this way in one of the most profound sermons, the sermon that we think of when we think of Jesus, when it doesn't matter whether you're a Christ follower or not, when you think of Jesus and you think of his words, these are the words that come to mind, the Sermon on the Mount. And here is a central point that Jesus has at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. It goes this way, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." Each day has enough trouble on its own. Now, I looked at that verse for a long time. And I thought, that was a nice verse. That was a nice thing Jesus said, because I shouldn't worry. But I never really thought about the idea of tomorrow, that tomorrow will worry about itself. What does that mean? Tomorrow will worry about itself. How does tomorrow worry about itself? Well, here's a question for you. Who is in charge of tomorrow? It's not us. It's God. In other words, we rejoice today and we let God worry about the tomorrow. The only way that tomorrow can worry about itself is if we give those worries to God and say, God, you're the God of tomorrow. I give you the worry of tomorrow. I'll let you worry about it, God. I'm too busy rejoicing today. That's how we let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. We'd say, God, you're in control. Here's an honest question for you. And it's our third point in our talk this morning. This is what we have to ask ourselves when we're all worried, when we're all stressed out. Is it about me or is it about God? Is it about me or is it about God? As you think about this question, is it about me or is it about God? I want you right now to think about the Creator. Thanks to the Hubble telescope today, we know so much more than what we did when I was in elementary school. Thanks to the Hubble telescope, you know the Hubble telescope, that's the one that's actually floating out there in space and it gets beyond the atmosphere and it can see things that we were never able to see before. And thanks to this Hubble telescope, we now know that there are, and this, by the way, is a conservative estimate. We know that conservatively, there are 350 billion, B with a B, 350 billion galaxies. Now, just to make sure you understand the perspective of this, all right? We have the sun and we're in the solar system, and our solar system is just one of millions of suns and solar systems inside of the Milky Way galaxy. And thanks to the Hubble telescope, we now know that our sun, as part of the Milky Way system, is part of 350 billion conservatively galaxies in the known universe. Now, why would God make so many? Why would he make it so big? Could it be that God simply wants us to know just how big he is? When we worship God and we say, God, I'm giving you my worries of tomorrow, this God who made not only the planet Earth and the sun and the Milky Way galaxy, but made 349 billion more besides that. Do you think he can handle your tomorrows? Do you think he can handle your problems? Let's take a look at the other extreme. You ever see a caterpillar? I'm riding my bike sometimes down the bike path and there's a little caterpillar inching his way around. Did you know that scientists tell us that that caterpillar has 228 separate and distinct muscles in its head? The little caterpillar. 228 independent muscles. That's quite a few for a bug. Or did you know that the elm tree, average elm tree, I did not know this. This is amazing. The average elm tree has approximately 6 million leaves on it. You know that when you have to, you know, broom it up. Why so many? Why so detailed? So we would know the truth of this verse that Moses wrote so many thousands of years ago. Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Now, what's the point of this focus on God? What does this have to do with our daily lives? What does it have to do with us making the most of every single day, with rejoicing? Is it about me? Or is it about God? This past week, I've been reading a book. It's a great book. I would recommend it to any of you. It's called Crazy Love. It's by an author by the name of Francis Chan. He's another pastor. I love the perspective that he gives on things. He tells a story of being an extra in a movie. And I love this story because of all the movies that have been made up in Cleveland. I don't know if you know this or not, but we have a lot of movies that are made very close to where we are. Cleveland is kind of like Hollywood east of the Mississippi. And you don't know this, but Christmas Story was made in Cleveland in 1983. Air Force One, you know, with Harrison Ford, made in 1997, made Cleveland look like Moscow. That wasn't too hard back then. Or more recently, Spider-Man 3 was filmed in Cleveland in 2007. And just starting here another week or two on May the 18th, in case anybody here wants to be an extra, I understand that right now Captain America begins filming in Cleveland on May the 18th, the next Captain America movie coming out. Now, what if, hang out here with me for a moment, what if you signed up to be an extra in the upcoming Captain America movie? And you happened to, you know, get approved and you were in the movie, you were one of 100 or 1,000 people that was in this scene that they had the crowd scenes, okay? And a year or two from now, the Captain America movie comes out and you're so excited because you're in the movie. You rent out a movie theater and you invite all of your friends to come and see the Captain America movie that you're in. And you get to this one little scene and there's 1,000 people on the picture and you tell the projectionist, stop the movie, stop the movie. That's it. That's my scene. That's me. A year from now, no one's going to care. 1,000 years from now, no one's going to care. And in the same way, our daily lives are not about us. The movie, my friends, is all about God. When we read the Bible, what we see from beginning to end is the story about God. And there are lots of people who's in the story with God. We read the stories of Abraham and the story of Moses and the story of all those who lived in the New Testament. And somewhere in God's story is you as well. But you will be known for all of eternity because of your connection to the Eternal One, not because of you. The movie, my friend, of life is all about God. And it's not about us. And you can't stop the movie of life and say, look at me, look at me, look at me. It's all about God. It's all about God. It's all about God. And that's the point of how you can rejoice in this day that the Lord has made. Anybody here ever be worried? I've been worried sometimes. I understand that. What really is worry? Let's take a look at it together. Worry is when I don't believe that God is big enough or powerful enough or loving enough to take care of what's happening to me. That's what worry is. This God who created 350 billion galaxies, who puts 228 muscles in the caterpillar's head, who dresses the elm tree with 6 million leaves. Does he not have the ability to care for me and to care for you? When we have the right view of God, when we have the right perspective to him about our relationship to him, our all the worries just go away. They disappear. What about stress? Anybody here ever have stress in their life? I have stress in my life. I get stressed out when I shouldn't be getting stressed out. But really, what is stress? Stress tells me that what bothers me is more important. And so I can display in my impatience, my lack of grace to others, my tight grip on the control that I want on my life and on those lives of people around me. When the reality is, who's really in control? Is it about me or is it about God? See, the Bible actually teaches us that we shouldn't worry. Jesus taught that himself. We shouldn't get stressed out, but we do it anyway. And when we do, and let's not mess around here. When we do something that the Bible tells us we shouldn't do, when we do something that is not God's instructions to us, that's called sin. So when we sin by our worry and our stress, we unconsciously believe that our issues that we're experiencing today somehow are exceptional, outstanding to God's truth. Really, and here's the truth of it, and I know you've never thought about it this way, and this is what just knocks me on my feet, off my feet when I think about it. Worry and stress come down to arrogance on our part. When I am worried about things, I'm arrogant because I think it's about me and not about God. When I'm stressed out, I'm arrogant because I think it's about me and not about God. Because we show that we forget that we've been forgiven. We show that we forget that our lives here are brief and short. We show that we forget that we're headed to a place, get this, we're headed to a place, if we're Christ followers, where we will never be lonely, where we will never ever be afraid, where we will never ever be hurt again, no matter how badly you've been hurt here. And that in the context of God's strength, our problems are small indeed. So, what is the purpose of the here and now? What is the purpose of today? If this is the only day we have, if it's not about me, what is the point of everything? And it's this. This is our last point today. We're going to wrap it up. The point of my life and the point of your life is to point to Him. The point of my life and the point of your life is to point to Him. You and I have been put here on this earth, my friend, for one reason and one reason only, to point to the glory of God. And everything that you do, you point to God's glory. As human beings, we are the unique creature that can do this. God made so many creatures, but He only made one that has an independent will. He only made one that has an independent ability to love. He only made one that has the ability to make the choices and decisions. And that, my friend, is you. You have the ability of all creation, you have the unique ability out of your own heart of love, out of your own passion for God, independently of His control, to love, worship, and honor God. That's why Paul writes to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, work or play, good times or bad times, happy times, sad times, when your plans are working out perfectly, and even when they're not, when we're on the mountaintop as well as when we're on the valley, all things, all times, all events, all occasions, do it for the glory of God. I invite you all to stand. How y'all doing with this talk today? You know, I have to tell you, this is a talk that hits us all hard because we've all lost somebody close to us. When I lost Michael, it was just like, I can't believe, you know, I'm the guy who should go first, not Michael, but it wasn't God's plan for me to go yet. It was His plan for Michael. Not a single one of us know what God's plans are for us. Teach us, O Lord, to number our days. We do not know what that number is. God is good to us in that regard. I wouldn't want to know, actually. But I do know this. I want to make the most of every single day I have. And I believe that that's true of you as well. And if that's the case, the only way that you can do it is to be connected to the Eternal One. And if you are, then you have a lot to rejoice about. But it may be that you have forgotten what you have to rejoice about, and you need to pray a prayer of, God, forgive me. Or maybe you're here today, and you haven't actually ever made that connection to God. And so, you know, when we're talking about being connected to the Eternal One, you're wondering, what in the world are we talking about? Today could be your day that you could be connected to Him. Let's bow our heads, and let's pray together.